everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm so excited to dig into something that I see all the time in my practice, which is thyroid issues. So today we're going to be particularly talking about hypothyroidism and Hashimoto's, and even look at some kind of underdiagnosed symptoms that fall through the cracks when we look at standard testing. So today in our podcast, we'll be covering hypo versus hyperthyroidism. We'll talk about the underlying root causes of thyroid imbalances, the gut and liver connection, nutrition foundations to support thyroid and better energy and metabolic health. We'll talk a little bit about functional testing and even the emotional connection to thyroid suppression. So if you are feeling tired or bloated or like your body is working against you, then this one is for you. So let's get into it. First and foremost, what the heck is the thyroid and why does it even matter? So basically the thyroid is a gland shaped kind of like a butterfly, and it's located at the base of our neck, responsible for producing hormones T3 and T4, which are thyroid hormones. And these help to regulate our metabolic rate, our body temperature, energy production, even our digestion and menstrual cycles. Those two are commonly not, kind of don't have the correlation between our thyroid and things like PMS or digestive issues, even like constipation, but there's a big connection that should be explored. Our mood and even our heart rate. So it kind of can think about it as our body's thermostat, or kind of like our energy manager. And it is controlled by the hypothalamus pituitary thyroid axis. So kind of that connection from the brain to the thyroid. So you can kind of think of the thyroid as like a gas pedal in our car. So if we're pressing on that gas pedal really heavily, we're speeding, it's too much thyroid hormone. If we're not pressing on it at all, then we're kind of stalling out. We're not getting the drive that we need to as far as our energy goes. Some of the signs that our thyroid needs some support. So most of the common ones will kind of differentiate between hypo versus hyperthyroid symptoms. So hypothyroid means low thyroid activity. So that can show up as things like extreme fatigue. If you're somebody that is just tired all the time, you have a hard time bed. If you are a woman who feels like she's eating clean and exercising and doing absolutely everything that she can, and you're still putting on weight, that's a big sign that your thyroid needs some support. You can also have dry skin. Your hair might be falling out, or you might notice that your nails are kind of thin. Constipation, we've kind of touched on that. You might feel cold all the time. Your slow metabolism, PMS, either irregular or heavy periods, brain fog, depression, or just kind of an overall like low energy, low flat mood. And you might have signs like low stomach acid or just poor digestion in general. Then we have the flip side of it, hyperthyroid symptoms. So hyperthyroid is kind of excess thyroid hormones. We have a fast thyroid. So I remember we had somebody when I was in school who was very thin, and she would eat and eat and eat, and she actually was hyperthyroid. So had a very, very fast metabolism. So that can be one. There can be kind of significant weight loss despite eating large amounts of food. There can be things like anxiety, heart palpitations, maybe sweating, inability to fall or stay asleep, insomnia, loose stools, irritability, racing thoughts. And then we have Hashimoto's, which is autoimmune thyroid condition. And so sometimes this can kind of start out by swinging between hypo and hyperthyroidism, and it can show up as intolerance to gluten or dairy, or even if somebody has a history of autoimmune conditions, or they've struggled with thyroid issues during their pregnancy or have postpartum flare-ups. A lot of these symptoms, especially for women, and I see this all the time, is that it's just kind of brushed off, is that, you know, your metabolism slows when you get older. You know, we're just kind of meant to put on weight, or it's normal to have issues with your cycle and feel overall kind of crappy. It's just a part of aging. And I will tell you that it's not. And so oftentimes these are signs that our thyroid or our hormones in general need a little bit of support. The interesting thing with hormones, and we'll talk about this in further detail, is that everything is all connected. So when one hormone is out, other hormones are out at the same time. So we need to look at our overall hormone picture as multiple different factors, not just going and looking at the thyroid and being like, well, we just need to take a supplement to support the thyroid or a medication to support the thyroid, and not look at other connections as to why the hormone might be out of balance in the first place. So we'll talk about that a little bit further along as we go. As I mentioned, we're going to primarily be talking about hypothyroidism. So this is very, very common, especially in women, often caused by Hashimoto's, the autoimmune condition, and it really just kind of slows down everything in the body. Hyperthyroidism, on the flip side, is less common. I will tell you, in the 10 years that I have been in practice, I would say out of people that come to see me for thyroid support, out of 10, I would say 8 to 9 of them are low thyroid function, so hypothyroidism. And I probably had 1 or 2 over the past 10 years about for hyperthyroidism, and typically it is correlated with Graves' disease. So again, overactive thyroid, body is over. Let me look at Hashimoto's thyroiditis. So this is an autoimmune condition. Essentially, our immune system is attacking our thyroid. So this can happen over years and years of damage before really it shows up in our TSH levels. So it's important to kind of know that Hashimoto's can exist with normal labs. So if you go in and you ask your doctor to check your thyroid, typically all they will test for is one marker, which is your TSH level. So thyroid stimulating hormone, which is a hormone from the brain to the thyroid, either telling it to pick up the pace or kind of slow down, depending on how much thyroid hormone is detected in your body. And that's really not enough to look at the whole picture. So if you're like, I don't know, my TSH levels, no one said anything, they're kind of falling within range, we'll talk about functional ranges a little bit further. Then I encourage you to go and have that conversation with your doctor. Like, hey, I know, you know, we've tested my thyroid levels, but I'm just experiencing these symptoms. I want to take the next step and get a full thyroid panel. Most doctors will not pull a full thyroid panel unless you present your case on why you need to. You'd have to work with somebody like a naturopathic or functional medicine practitioner who would do a full thyroid panel, okay? Just to recap with Hashimoto, so oftentimes this can be triggered by gut issues, infections, it can be from nutrient deficiencies, pregnancies, as I mentioned, or chronic stress. What do we ask our doctors to test? How do we check if our markers are right? How do we know we're within range or if we're in with that, what we call it, functional range? There's a big difference. So when, you know, conventional blood testing, the range is are huge, right? And so there's a big difference between just falling within range and being in the optimal range, which is something that I myself look at with clients. Or again, if you're working with somebody like a naturopathic doctor, who will make sure that your ranges are in those functional ranges and you're not kind of out of balance. So again, most doctors will only test your TSH levels, thyroid stimulating hormone. So kind of an ideal range for that is about 0.5 upwards to 2.5. We don't want our TSH levels to be high. That would be signaling of hypothyroidism. So that kind of means that the brain's going, okay, thyroid, you got to pick up the pace here. You got to pump out some more hormones. And if it's really, really low, that's not good either. That would be hyperthyroidism. So the brain's detecting we have lots of thyroid hormones in our blood. If you're requesting a full thyroid panel, they will check TSH levels, free T4, free T3, reverse T3, and our thyroid antibodies to check. That's what we check for Hashimoto's. You can also get some other markers kind of tied in there as well that kind of can give you a little bit of a deeper picture. So one that I always commonly like to look at is actually ferritin. So ferritin is a protein that stores iron in the liver, and low ferritin can actually impair the T4 to T3 conversion. And I would say a pretty significant amount of women that I see have low ferritin levels. So check that. Again, you want to be in optimal ranges. For women, I like to see their ferritin levels up around 70 to 80. Most that I see are kind of in the 30, 40, 50 kind of range, which means they need to kind of work on a number of different things, increasing their iron through food, optimizing their digestion to make sure that they're absorbing those nutrients and minerals at the same time. You can also check your vitamin D levels. So low vitamin D can influence our thyroid. Again, very, very common. Everybody, I would say most people need to supplement with vitamin D unless you're diligent about going outside every single day, especially in the summertime, and getting adequate vitamin D from the sun. But most of us are still sitting inside. We're at our jobs, those sorts of things, and not getting enough vitamin D. So you need to supplement with it. You can also look at inflammatory markers. C-reactive protein is one. We can check our cortisol levels. A little bit tough to do through typical blood test. Usually what's tested is cortisol AM. So what your cortisol levels are doing in the morning, which doesn't really give us a whole lot of information because it depends on a multitude of different things. It can be things like if you've had coffee in the morning, if you've exercised in the morning, if you've eaten in the morning, what time you got your cortisol levels tested, what time you woke up, all sorts of things. So it really doesn't give us a whole lot of information to just check one time. Ideally, when we're wanting to check cortisol, we want to check it at multiple points throughout the day as cortisol levels fluctuate. So it's part of what's called our circadian rhythm. So cortisol, it gets a lot of flack as being kind of a bad hormone or a stress hormone. We got to get rid of it. No, we need cortisol. It's essential. It gets us up in the morning, keeps us motivated. The thing is, we just want it to be spiking and dipping at appropriate times throughout the day. So typically cortisol is higher in the morning, kind of peaks around mid-morning. So we want to test our cortisol levels right when we wake up. We want to test kind of mid-morning, mid-afternoon, and then before we go to bed, and then again in the middle of the night if you're somebody that wakes up frequently. So typically this is either done through saliva testing or through dried urine testing. Both of those are done through like Dutch hormone testing, so more functional hormone testing. So if you are interested in that, I do offer those tests in my practice, so you can always reach out with more information around that. But that's the best way to test cortisol, not necessarily through blood. You want to test it through urine and saliva to see where your hormones are, kind of where cortisol levels are throughout the day, if they're high, they're low, they're peaking at the right times, those sorts of things. Okay. You can also check insulin and glucose. So typically we like to see fasting insulin and glucose, so what your blood sugar levels are doing first thing in the morning. Ideally, they should be low. If they're elevated, that can be signs of things like insulin resistance. So thyroid and blood sugar go hand in hand. So we can see kind of through some of the things we've been speaking about, that it's not just about the thyroid and just fixing the thyroid hormones. We're looking at those deeper connections, stress connections, blood sugar regulation, digestive support. Those are the three foundations that I work with every single client on when they come into my practice. And it doesn't really matter what the hormone imbalance is, it still comes back to those three key foundations, whether it's a thyroid condition, whether you're struggling with your issues in menopause or perimenopause, PMS, PMDD, PCOS, endometriosis, you still have to come back to those foundational. Let's delve into the thyroid and cortisol connection. So we talked about what cortisol kind of is. Again, it's kind of known as our stress hormone, but it's also our awake hormone. So they are the thyroid and the adrenals. The adrenals are two glands that are situated on top of the kidneys. And so they are responsible for producing cortisol and adrenaline, norepinephrine, also some sex hormones. And so if they are too busy being stressed out, producing cortisol, it can increase our cortisol levels, which actually suppresses TSH, so suppresses our thyroid stimulating hormone. And high cortisol can also block that conversion of T4 to T3. If you're looking at your labs, if you do have a full thyroid panel and you reverse T3, so this is an inactive form that kind of blocks T3, which is our active thyroid hormone. If you're reverse T3 levels, that can be a pretty good indication that you have higher levels of stress or cortisol and that it's influencing your thyroid health, and that you need to give your adrenals a little bit of love. So over time, you know, if we have consistent high cortisol, this can lead to hypothyroidism, even if TSH levels are looking normal. So typically on a Dutch test, so again, that's that hormone, functional hormone test. So what I commonly see is either a really low or kind of flat cortisol curve. So that can signal that there's an HPA axis dysfunction. So our cortisol levels are kind of low all across the board. And sometimes that typically comes from someone being in a state of really high cortisol, a lot of stress output, a lot of things kind of going on with lifestyle and kind of daily life stressors. And their body's like, can't keep up with this, so we're going to downregulate it. And so it's as kind of a protective mechanism. So then that would be kind of a state of burnout. So someone's got low adrenal output, a low cortisol curve. Other thing that we see is high cortisol metabolites. So that can be signs of burnout or early adrenal fatigue. or cortisone to cortisol ratio can also help pinpoint if the body is converting stress hormones properly. Again, it does it kind of as a protective mechanism. It will convert cortisol into cortisone if our cortisol levels are too high. So stress can come from many different things. I'm going to do a whole podcast episode just on cortisol because I know it's kind of the word of the year. And so stress can be coming from multiple different layers. It can be not only stresses that are, you know, with our kids and family and the fridge breaks down, the car breaks down, or we get an unexpected bill or fighting with our partner or whatever it is. It can also be things like not eating enough. Very first episode, I shared about the impacts on yo-yo dieting or not getting enough nutrients overall. That's a great way to tank your thyroid hormones. So you need to be consuming enough calories and enough protein, especially. So low blood sugar, over-exercising, if we're not getting enough sleep, if we're just eating a lot or drinking a lot of caffeine and alcohol, too much sugar, those sorts of things that can all increase our cortisol and stress levels at the same time. So really need to work on the blood sugar foundation, eating enough protein, getting in some gentle movement. So kind of watching your exercise. We don't want too much. We don't want too little. Managing your stress by, doing simple things like going for a walk. Maybe it's a magnesium bath. Maybe it's saying no more often. Maybe it's getting to bed a little bit earlier. Your stress regulation is going to be specific for you. And in some cases, you can use certain things like herbs. Ashwagandha can be helpful, but you really want to be careful whenever you're incorporating herbs or adaptogenic herbs that you know what your cortisol levels are doing. Because if your cortisol levels are low and you're taking ashwagandha because you think your cortisol levels are high, you are going to mess things up. So you really want to either look at testing or work with a practitioner who can kind of decipher your signs and symptoms of whether maybe you are high or low cortisol by knowing kind of what your energy levels look like throughout the day. Then you can kind of fine tune things a little bit. But magnesium, B complex, vitamin C are also really great. Sodium, potassium, electrolytes can be very helpful if you are someone who is experiencing high levels of stress. And then, of course, the basic foundations of sleeping and supporting our circadian rhythm. Getting up and viewing that sunlight in the morning can be incredibly helpful for regulating our cortisol levels. For this next part, let's dive into the gut health and the thyroid connection. So when in doubt, look at the gut. It's kind of what I always say when we have an imbalance, whether it's a skin issue, hormone issue, those sorts of things. Look at our digestive health. In holistic nutrition, we call the gut the mother of the body. And if she is unhappy, everything else is unhappy. So if we're not able to break down nutrients properly or absorb nutrients properly, if we have bacteria overgrowth, high levels of inflammation, that's going to have a direct impact on our hormone health, especially our thyroid. So 70% of T4 is converted to T3. So again, T3 is our active thyroid hormone, and 70% of T4 is converted to T3 in the gut and liver. So if we have any gut dysfunction, that's going to directly lead to thyroid dysfunction. So things like leaky gut can trigger Hashimoto's. You have gut infections like H. pylori. So that is a little bacteria that likes to wedge itself into the lining of the stomach, and it decreases stomach acidity, which can kind of lead to further downstream issues like bacterial imbalances and nutrition deficiencies. Parasitic infections, yeast overgrowth, these all stress out the immune system. And if we have poor microbiome diversity, this comes up pretty frequently when I view GI maps, is kind of not enough beneficial bacteria kind of happening in the gut. And we need a good amount of good bacteria that is our protective mechanism that supports our immune system, our energy, our mood, and again, that thyroid conversion. So if we have poor microbiome diversity, that means less conversion of thyroid hormones. And furthermore, things like constipation can lead to estrogen recirculating, which can further suppress the thyroid. So really, if you are struggling with things like constipation, we need to be working on that, especially if you have thyroid issues. So again, on GI maps, that's a stool test that I run in my practice. So kind of common connections that I see with people with thyroid imbalances are H. pylori, candida, or parasitic infections, low short chain fatty acids, which can mean poor gut lining health, or levels of zonulin or secretory IgA imbalance that can lead to signs of leaky gut and immune dysregulation. Then we can look at our liver health and our detoxification pathways. So our liver is key for, again, converting that T4 to T3 and clearing excess estrogen. Toxins, alcohol, synthetic hormones, medications can overburden the liver. So we really want to be making sure we support both phase 1 and phase 2 of detox. So including things like cruciferous vegetables. So that's things like broccoli, cauliflower, kale, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, sprouts can be really great. Bitter greens like arugula. I really like the supplement NAC, N-acetylcysteine, for liver support, B vitamins, and as I mentioned before, protein is very important for detoxifying the liver and supporting hormone metabolism. Holistic nutritionist, and in holistic nutrition, we look at the full body connection, mind, body, spirit. So I think whenever we are making those connections, we not only need to look at the physical, so things like, are we eating enough whole foods? Are we getting enough nutrients? Are we supporting blood sugar? Those sorts of things. We need to look at the mind and the spirit at the same time. So we talked about stress management, but also looking at the spiritual connection as well. This was one of my favorite things when I went to school. We had to make those connections of what kind of could be going on a deeper layer that's leading to those imbalances. So because the thyroid sits in the throat, it can be correlated to the throat chakra, which is tied to expression and truth and communication. So things that kind of show an imbalance with that throat chakra is trouble speaking up. So if you're a very quiet and reserved person, like I used to be, have trouble speaking up, or you feel really nervous, that could show up as a thyroid imbalance. Maybe you're a people pleaser and you don't kind of want to stir things up. You're not sticking up for yourself. You're not saying what's on your mind. Or maybe you feel like your voice doesn't matter. Maybe you're suppressing your emotions or your truth. Maybe you're holding back creativity. Maybe you're holding back creatively. Can all be signs that, you know, our thyroid is being suppressed on a more emotional level. On the side of Hashimoto's, clients kind of often describe maybe they're feeling silenced. Maybe they never fully express anger or sadness. So again, it's kind of like our emotions kind of get stuck in our throat. We're not actually able to speak them. Or living for others' expectations. And I find this is so true for women, because women are doing everything for everybody else, and oftentimes they're putting themselves on their back burner. So they're doing all these things for their kids and their partner to make sure everybody else is taken care of, and they're not taking care of themselves. And that can show up directly as a thyroid imbalance, right? So I'm very much for, you know, when we put ourselves first, and yes, I'm going to say put yourself first, because when you put yourself first, that helps you. It's the ripple effect. It makes you be a better parent. You're able to show up better for your children, for your relationships, for your partner, for your friends, for your career, for your dreams. So put yourself on the front burner. And some emotional support tools, so the things like journaling, singing or chanting or even humming can be helpful, speaking boundaries out loud, getting into practice about confrontation sometimes. It's uncomfortable, but when we learn how to properly communicate with others, it makes a huge difference. So communication, absolutely key, and you can also work with like a therapist or a coach on emotional expression as well. Okay, so we have touched on the cortisol connection, the gut connection, the spiritual connection. So let's talk about some strategies that you can implement from a nutrition standpoint to support your thyroid. So protein is going to be absolutely essential. So ideally for most women, I would say you want to aim for at the very, very minimum 20 grams of protein for your main meals, upwards of 30 to 40 even, sometimes depending on what your goals are. and around 10 to 15 for your snacks. So I find most women, again, depending on what your goals are, want to aim for at the very minimum around 90 to 100 grams of protein per day. Then our thyroid also needs key minerals like iodine and selenium. So iodine is going to come from things like seaweed and fish. You just want to be careful with like supplementing with iodine unless you are under the guidance of a practitioner with any thyroid issues, because we can have too much of a good thing. So sometimes if you don't have a thyroid issue, you take iodine, you can give yourself one. So you want to be very, very mindful of iodine supplementation and also getting too much with food or things like iodized salt and stuff like that. So just be careful. Selenium, you can actually get this through Brazil nuts. So 2 to 3 Brazil nuts is a great source of selenium. You can also get it through eggs and wild caught fish. Zinc is essential. Oysters, pumpkin seeds, beef is really good. I also like to just supplement with zinc. I find a lot of women, especially if you struggle with things like PMS or low mood, PMDD, those sorts of things, zinc citrate can be incredibly beneficial for supplementing, especially that week before the cycle. So very, very important. We've talked about the importance of iron and how it influences our thyroid conversion. So please make sure you're getting enough iron. I see so many women that come in and their iron levels are low. Sometimes it can be around fear of eating beef or animal proteins. Heme iron is the type of iron that is found in animal proteins and is actually best absorbed. It's preferred over plant sources of iron, so non-heme. Sometimes plant proteins have certain things that can kind of inhibit iron uptake. But so animal protein, don't be afraid of it. Don't be afraid of good quality red meat. Have it in your diet a couple times a week, especially around your cycle, things like that too. And again, if you have any digestive issues, look at optimizing absorption, increasing stomach acidity. You might want to look at adding in some apple cider vinegar to kind of stoke that digestive fire. Then we want tyrosine. So that is an amino acid coming from protein that is needed to make T4, or so chicken, turkey, fish, tofu, those sorts of things. And then of course we want to look at magnesium and B vitamins for adrenal and metabolic support. But to stay away from gluten, unfortunately, if you have an autoimmune condition, it is best to stay away from gluten, especially with Hashimoto's, because there can be cross-reactivity. So you want to limit gluten. Processed soy, a little bit of soy, you want it to be organic, non-GMO, maybe once a week. But if you do have a significant thyroid issue or Hashimoto's, you might want to limit it in general. And then, of course, we want to look at limiting ultra-processed foods and refined sugar, reducing inflammation, blood sugar swings. I wanted to share a bit of a client case study from a client that came in to me. She was in her early 40s. And she was struggling with the typical weight gain that happens for a lot of women in their early 40s. She had very low mood, kind of self-described as feeling a little bit depressed. She was actually never able to conceive. So her and her husband had wanted to have a family, but she was never able to conceive. And, I do think that weighed pretty heavy on her. And she came in with her lab work from her doctor. And I said, let's look at it. And she said, nothing had ever came from it. No doctors ever mentioned anything at all. So I took a deeper look. And just to give you an idea, her thyroid stimulating hormone, so our ideal functional range, 0.5 to 2.5, her TSH levels were 4.5. So that is subclinical hypothyroidism. So it kind of flew under the rug. She should have had a deeper insight, looked at that. She had insulin resistance at the same time. Her fasting blood sugar levels were very elevated. Her ferritin and iron levels were absolutely tanked. So again, she fell within those normal ranges, which is why nothing was ever flagged. And so she was left feeling absolutely defeated. Well, I'm feeling junky. All of these things are happening. Like, I'm not getting any answers. What the heck is going on? And, so she was left feeling defeated and just to carry on, keep doing what she's doing. That was absolutely not the case. She had a number of things that she really needed to work on. So I ended up digging a little bit deeper and just kind of uncovered some of the classic red flags of an underfunctioning thyroid and a burned out nervous system. So she had come from years and years of yo-yo dieting and calorie restrictions. So on again, off again diets, cutting back calories down to 1200 calories per day. She also worked a very high pressure job and wasn't sleeping very much. So she would go to bed really late at night, watching Netflix until midnight and then waking up at 6 o'clock, and was kind of not really having any breakfast, was drinking a lot of coffee on an empty stomach. And she had a very long history also of gut issues. So there was some really chronic bloating and irregular bowel movements as well. And she kind of self-proclaimed that she has a really, really hard time slowing down and resting. She felt really, really guilty. So we did some further testing. We did a GI map to assess her gut. We ended up getting a full thyroid panel from her doctor, including free T3, reverse T3, and her antibodies. And we also did look at testing her cortisol levels. We didn't do a full thyroid panel. We were working on optimizing digestive function first, but we did want to look at her overall cortisol levels throughout the day. So we did the GI map, and kind of what we found was she did have high levels H. pylori, low commensal bacteria. So that's low levels or beneficial bacteria. She had high beta glucuronidase, so that's kind of a marker that shows that estrogen isn't detoxifying properly. Her secretory IgA was low, which told me that her immune system was worn out. And then when we looked at her cortisol levels, it was flatlined. So we kind of talked about that before. She had low levels of cortisol all throughout the day, which was why she felt really tired and low energy and unmotivated, felt tired even after sleeping 8 hours per day. And so that really just showed me that she had some significant HPA axis dysfunction. So this is what we worked on. So first and foremost, we really worked on blood sugar support, increasing protein, especially at breakfast. So no more just skipping breakfast and having coffee. We had a good solid breakfast. Then we jumped into her gut healing protocol from the results that we got from her GI map. So we addressed the H. pylori and really looked at increasing beneficial bacteria, healing and sealing the lining of the gut, reducing overall inflammation. Then we really, really worked on stress reduction rituals. So walking outside in nature, journaling, we took magnesium before bed. We slowly started to increase her carbohydrates and calories so she wasn't under eating. So especially if you have somebody coming in or you are somebody who is eating low calories, around 1200 calories, that's not enough for any grown woman. You need to slowly start building up your metabolism. Again, if you go and just start eating more, you're going to put on weight. So you need to slowly increase your caloric intake and also with your carbohydrates. So carbohydrates are essential for thyroid hormone production. So not a big fan of low carbohydrate diets. You just want that good carbohydrates. You want to be strategic around them. Eat carbohydrates in the day if you're struggling with things like weight, and time them kind of around your workouts. And then we also added in some supplements just to help support thyroid conversion. So we did some zinc and a B complex. So again, we worked on those foundational pieces. It wasn't just going in and, you know, slapping some supplements in there. We really started working on the nutrition and lifestyle foundations, the sleep, the movement, the diet, all of those things. And she started sleeping through the night without waking up. She had lost about 15 pounds in the 3 months that we worked together. So what I kind of say with weight loss, we want to aim for around 1 to 2 pounds per week for a sustainable rate. And that was bang on. So 15 pounds just by supporting her thyroid and gut health. We didn't really do anything crazy. I didn't have her even track her calories. We just worked on the foundations, okay? And she started to kind of feel like herself again. So her mood was a lot better and her cycles became more regular. She had less PMS, and she even confirmed ovulation with a basal body temperature chart. So this is why I really encourage you, if you are someone who's struggling with, you know, your hormones, with your energy, your mood, your weight, advocate for yourself. Take a deeper look. Work with a practitioner that can understand your labs, that can understand and make those connections. Because the truth is, doctors aren't really there for preventative medicine, right? They're there to give you either medication or something else to kind of, you know, help you deal with your symptoms in that moment. They don't have time to sit with you for an hour and take a deep dive into your health and your lifestyle and come up with a specific plan. That's my job. That's a naturopath's job, right? So you have to work with a practitioner who can also work in combination with your doctor to help you get a more personalized approach. So please, please don't settle for, you know, your labs are fine, everything came back fine, there's nothing wrong with you. Take a deeper look, learn more, understand more, work with somebody who can help you and get you the results that you need and should have. So if this episode resonated with you and you suspect you might have thyroid issues and it might be the root of your fatigue, your bloating, your burnout, I'd love to support you inside my one-on-one programs. So make sure you reach out to me or you can visit my website at www.miaharrisnutrition.com and you can feel free to book in a discovery call. I will add a link in the show notes below. And don't forget to share this episode with a friend who needs to hear it and to save it and subscribe for future episodes. Thank you so much for joining me today, and I'll catch you next time.